Our verses for this morning are familiar ones, but usually not all together in the same place. They're the verses of, who is it that you say that I am? But also what comes after that. So let's hear it all together as the whole happening around this. This is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, and then 21 through 26. Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, tempter. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who will save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? I'm curious, what did you have in mind for this season? To borrow the infamous interview question, I wonder, 5 years ago, where did you envision yourself today? And do yourself a favor and lay aside the extraordinary circumstances of a pandemic and all that, because there's only so long that we can commiserate over things that we can't control. Where did you expect to be? Where did you hope to be located in this time or doing or have achieved by now? Now that I have you thinking both forward and back, let me tell you why I take you here in the first place. As I've been saying, we all come with expectations, and we carry them big and small, both from the outside and the inside. And often we live our lives in two worlds. The world as we hope to see it, and the world as we know it now. And I'm guessing that as I ask those questions, you might have been straddling that divide a little bit of what I hoped and where I am. And that's absolutely okay. It happens to all of us. Because life rarely goes as what we plan. I remember when I was graduating high school, all my friends saying, well, in 10 years I'm going to be exactly a doctor and located and married to this person, and everything is just going to be slow. Yes, Bob? And one of the stronger attractions I had to going back to a high school reunion is just to say, so what really happened? Because I know, for me, what I had in mind and what came to be didn't really match up. I didn't imagine myself to be a father of young children at a relatively older age. And to that, I didn't expect to be living most of my life in the West. Come to that, I didn't really expect to be standing here doing this at all, let alone for 14 years now. I'm guessing there are things big and small in all of our lives that work on similar veins. Not that this is bad, and not that there's something wrong with that, because if all our childhood dreaming would come true, absolutely, we'd have a whole lot more astronauts than we'd ever need. I don't see the separations between life that I lived and the expectations I had for life as a problem. At the end of the day, I wouldn't change my world if I could, with the obvious exceptions of hurrying along some red tape along the way. But that's about it. And I'm guessing many of you would say the same. Finding ourselves where we are and being content in that is truly a blessing. But sometimes where we find ourselves and where we expect to find ourselves can be so disparate that it can cause us grief. Sometimes the greatest wounds in the world are not necessarily the ones that we carry from what happened to us or what was done to us or what we have lost, but rather what never came to be and never came to pass in the first place. In any case, we do well to be aware of this because our expectations have power on us. They shape our reality. There is a reason why a placebo is, when properly spoken of and properly sold, and saying, yes, this is a powerful medicine that's going to do all the good things for you, actually works as that medicine. Because simply the expectation is there. There was an experiment a while back where they had two groups playing video games. One time through, all the competitors played video games by themselves, and the next time they had a crowd around them cheering them on and encouraging them and doing all the things of the spectator sport that, you know, is a video game. And ironically, the time through when they were playing the video game with the crowd, they did worse. Because they had everybody sitting there encouraging them on, and it made them play more conservatively and less fluidly, not wanting to disappoint. We all have our expectations, and if we're careful, they can come back and bite us just as easily. And I think that this is what goes on for us, yes, in the real world and in our real lives, but also in our spiritual lives as well. And I think that's what we're dealing with here today. Because on the surface, this scripture, this moment of you are the Messiah, the Son of God. It's their shining moment. They got the question right. Yippee! Here is the Messiah. And Peter even gets a good pat on the head along the way. You can see Peter and the disciples giving each other a high five for their spiritual insight. But having reached that insight and having that be confirmed, then everything else kicks in. What they mean by Messiah and the expectations of what comes next. And all their Hebrew school learning comes into play. Where Messiah will be the conquering hero, the beloved of Yahweh, sent to put things right and restore Israel before their eyes and before the eyes of all the world, and to place them in their rightful place in the world. And here he is! It's going to happen right now! The cries of the slaves in Egypt and the yearnings of the exiles in Babylon and the prayers of the Roman subjects have been heard, and here is Jesus, come as God's anointed to transform the world and to grab it by the ear and set it all right. But that didn't last. Almost immediately, Jesus sets about dismantling the castles in the sky that they have constructed for themselves. They've called him Messiah, and the Messiah turns around and says, yeah, but what you mean by that isn't what I mean by that. Jesus is saying that the way of God set up for him is the one that is all too familiar for the prophets. Ridicule, rejection, suffering, death. And we can see the other disciples hollering behind Peter as he takes his turn to say, Jesus, surely you can't be serious. Not this, God. It just doesn't hold together. They have this expectation that they've been holding come crashing down around their ears, and they're trying to figure out how to manage this massive disappointment between the world as it is and the world as it should be. Because they expected victory. They expected liberation in real, tangible political power, and they're already arguing over the place settings. They couldn't imagine and they couldn't expect a victory and a reconciliation and a salvation come for all people in the form of love demonstrated and salvation granted even beyond the grave. They got the question of who am I right, but they had no idea what to do when their expectations didn't meet the reality. And how common that reality is. Our imaginations function only in what we can imagine, only what we have seen before, only what we know right here. And Jesus is asking them to leap into something that they can't imagine. We, like the disciples before us, bring our expectations of God, spoken or not, we have our assumptions of what you get with the general God package. That if you're broadly good people, generally good things happen to you. That there's a correlation between who we don't like and who God might condemn. And that God acts to minimize pain for the club of the beloved of God. And to a degree, all that is true. But to another degree, all that's a little bit of an illusion. We expect a Messiah of one thing, and instead we get a Messiah that comes to us and says, I will walk with you as you carry your cross. But don't doubt that there will be a cross to carry. As important as declaring Jesus as Messiah is, maybe it's even more important to remain open to having our notions of what that means challenged from time to time. Speaking these words will require that our expectations and our hopes are transformed. We learn that it is not enough to dream a world transformed by the narrow set of parameters that we operate in practical organization and power and might and all the rest. But instead, the kingdom of God requires an imagination beyond the simple math of who has what power, and extends into the stroke of love that crosses every boundary and every imagination that would limit it. By persistence and sometimes even by pain, in the way of unending love, God remakes the world. And the world is remade by the notion of Jesus Christ that includes things that we can never fully anticipate, but yet come and heal us and embrace us where we are. And we should be clear about this. If we take Jesus at his word, the way things work in our world, our folly may end up being a challenge to us. I'm often impressed by the uncanny sense of humor that God has in taking what we want and then twisting it that next little 5 degrees as saying, sure, but this is how I'm going to do it, and you end up with something completely different. And there's a discipline for holding our expectations and God's possibilities in balance with all things. First, let me be clear. It's not bad to have expectations of our lives, of ourselves, of our God. Of course we do. We all dream and we all do what we need to do. But we need to be able to hold on to those expectations just loosely enough to allow God to work within them and to change them as need be. It's a difficult thing to wrap our heads around, and sometimes we struggle for a long time to see God in that which we didn't expect. It can take years to align our hopes with the reality of God's work. And it's not that God automatically wants something different than what we have in mind, or that we simply need to sit around and end every sentence with, well, the Lord willing. But there always has to be that openness to saying, yes, but God might do something else. And I can see that too. Secondly, we do well to change what we mean when we talk about our expectations. Often we have a set of goals for ourselves, of very concrete things of, this is where I want to be, this is how I want to do it, here's how I like harvest to go. Because our goals are always usually ones of achievement and realization. I wonder how it might make us different if we would also set goals of, I want to be someone who knows how to laugh deeply, who is said to demonstrate love well, who is able to embrace even that which is challenging. with grace and humor. Sometimes we can be so fixated on our achievements and not on our values that we cannot fathom what happens when our achievements don't come to be. And our expectations can hold us prisoner to the point that we cannot accept or enjoy what is, let alone let them go. Because sometimes you do have to let them go. And sometimes you do have to grieve what didn't come to pass. And that's okay. But we also have to be open to, even here, I found God. And to open ourselves up just enough to grab onto what might be happening here and now. Try though we might, our lives are held in the hands of God. And when we are followers of God, that always means that some things just aren't always up to us. That our dreams also need to be God's dreams. And of course we value what we dream and anticipate, but we're also invited to grab onto God's dreams and think about something different that might even surprise us. Our world sometimes can be shaken, and we can end up with something that we didn't ever expect. And we do well to see, even within the chaos of our lives, the plan of love and the unformed future as within the created spirit, hovering over the mess, ready to call light into being. Let us hold our dreams carefully, but also dare to dream the dreams of God and a world made new in a way that we may never even recognize. May that be our balancing act as we follow along where Jesus leads. Amen.